Welcome to the Specify Growth Podcast. I'm your host, Tats Nakagawa of Castagra Products. Each week, I talk to leaders and experts about how to overcome adversity, grow massive organizations, and how to create meaningful change in the building materials and construction industry. Today's guest is Pete Zeppitella. He's the CEO at Zepps Gear. So Pete, thank you for coming on the show.
You're welcome. How are you doing? I'm so glad to be on the show. Thank you for inviting me to the show.
Yeah, perfect. Now, you're an entrepreneur. You do many things, but you come from the carpenter trade. So when did that start for you?
Oh boy, that's over 30 years ago I've been in the trades. So I've been a carpenter for over 30 years. My parents pushed me into it, to be honest. So,
oh, really? I mean, it's not always the parents pushing, kids into trades. Did they have sort of trades background?
My dad, he's blue collar, right? He's passed away now, but he was a blue collar. He worked at Port Weller Dry Docks here and worked on the boats. He fixed all the big ships and stuff like that. So he was into that stuff. And then, they pushed me into blue collar work, right?
Yeah.
And get into the trades. And that's how I became a carpenter. And I started off in residential. I did residential for many years, over a dozen years, framing houses, all the way from finishing houses, the floor, foundations, like the whole nine yards. And then got into the union. And now I do scaffolding, right? I did form work, also built helped build the casino down here in Niagara Falls, stuff like that. So I've been around.
For sure. Okay. Very cool. So what made you decide to dip your toes into entrepreneurship?
To be honest, the reason I actually dipped my toes into entrepreneurship is just because I seen a need here, an actual real need that in construction, we need it, right? And it's something that will help us be more comfortable, save injuries in the long run. And I'm just looking out for my fellow brothers out there, like all the construction workers, welders, everybody in construction can benefit with this, where if they got to go out and work at heights, this is the better option for you. And it protects what protects you also, right?
Sure. Now, I mean, I think maybe give a little background, because, you didn't start with this goal in mind. You had a challenge, right? Because this is the fall protection gear, right? It was very uncomfortable.
Yeah. So it's a harness friendly jacket. So what happened to me, I'll give you a little bit of a background, is like everybody else, you go to work every day and stuff. And so what happened to me was I seen these guys, and they actually, and it's a brand out there, I don't think they do it anymore, but they had slits in their jackets. And I'm like, wow, they were just moving better, more optimal, or more task at hand, where you're actually concentrating on what you do instead of being, let's be honest, when you're uncomfortable, I don't care what anybody says. They say, be uncomfortable. You don't concentrate. You're trying to you're thinking about other stuff, right? You know what I mean? So when you're in the trades, more comfortable you are, now you're actually thinking about what you actually have to do, right? Instead of oh, this sucks and I want to go home, right? So to be honest, I seen these guys. I'm like, wow, they got their harnesses underneath their jackets. They move better. They're more comfortable. And they were really whipping stuff off, right? So I'm like, wow. So I acquired one of these jackets. Gonna be honest, I thought it was the next thing to slice bread. I'm like, well, this is awesome. I see why they do this now, right? Because I'm my shoulders don't hurt as much, over in the winter time, right? People don't realize over time the compound that you do to yourself when you're wearing stuff the way they tell you to wear it, like a harness over your jacket. You're constantly under restriction. And I always tell everybody, take your shirt, pull down on your shirt, and I want you to lift up your arm about 10 times. Now picture a guy like me. I do that all day, 8 hours a day, every day, right? It's not so great. That's why we get shoulder tears and we get injuries over time. And what happened was, when I had this jacket, I thought, this is awesome. Tried out. My own fault. I had a slip and I fell. Good thing I was tied off. But what happened was I fell. That jacket, actually, picture this, came up and grabbed me like that, right underneath my neck. It pulled the whole jacket up. The harness had nowhere to go. So that's why I went into Zepps Gear and pushed the entrepreneurship for making Zepps Gear, because I'm like, well, there's got to be something better. When I looked online, everything was the same. It was all this little slit. Oh, yeah, this is what it is. No, it's wrong. So I did more studying. I went and I actually went to a company called Intratech. Not a lot of people in Canada have heard of them. Like, they're an American company. They're sort of, I always say they're sort of above and beyond. They're the ones that'll test anything for you, where other companies will say, oh, we can't test that, right? So I went to them, made sure it was third-party tested. And that's why I came into the entrepreneurship with Zepsgear, to make a harness-friendly jacket that actually works for you. And I'm actually wearing one right now. You can wear it with or without the harness, obviously. And the thing is, I went the extra step. I even put lanyard loops in the front of it, right? So that way, because these other jackets, we'd always be carrying our lanyards, or you hook them to your belt. Now the lanyard's so low, right? So I listened to the need of everybody, and the need I needed, I was like, this has got to go, right? So the tearaway feature behind the jacket is all patented. The whole thing is patented because I want to make sure it's done right. Because I've seen other people, all of a sudden I started doing stuff, they start trying to copy, and it's like, it doesn't work, right? Like, I know it doesn't work because I've tried it. I was my own crash test dummy when I did all this. So I know what works and what actually doesn't.
Yeah. And what were the early lessons? Because obviously, as an entrepreneur, you're constantly learning through, you know, trial and error. What were some of the early key lessons?
I'm going to be honest, the early lessons for me were, because I'm just the type of guy, I'm like trying to get everybody on board, right? So as an entrepreneur, you have to watch who you talk to and watch who you give your ideas to be honest, because there's people out there that'll just, oh, that's a great idea, right? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they try to take stuff. So you have to be careful of that as an entrepreneur. And when you let things out, I just find, maybe it's for me because this is something like completely brand new. It's nobody's ever, you know, done anything like this on, you know, for blue collar workers, right? It's usually they try to fix products and this and that instead of fixing stuff for us. So it's completely brand new. It's for me, my lessons are like, so I just watch my steps now. I don't take everything for granted what people say anymore, because you'll hear some people, oh yeah, yeah, we'll put it in our stores. And then you go back and they're like, ah, you know, stuff like that. So just as an entrepreneur, to other entrepreneurs out there, take it slow. And I find if you take it slow, you'll have a better company. Personally, that's my opinion. Don't try to just be like, let's grow and make this happen, right?
Yeah, very cool. So what were your early steps in commercializing it? How did you get it out there?
So for me, my early steps for commercializing was, I had my union on board, right? Because they saw, well, whoa, this is actually a good thing. And then I actually ended up joining a company called Primeline Tools. They actually are in the same industry as you, as roofing. They saw, wow, like, this is actually a good product. And they helped me push to the next level and push it out there to have, you know, people knowing about it and have people say, oh, you know what, there's a new product that actually can help us, you know, and have us wear a harness underneath, more comfortable now, right? Where we're protected, right? And it makes us comfortable, right? That's the whole thing. And then, so that's how we started pushing Zepsgear out into the field.
Yeah. And you also got some exposure, right? Through some of the activities you had.
Yeah. Talk, so I that. Got big exposure through the Dragon's Den. That's the biggest exposure I've got so far. I'm going to be honest, that was my third time trying, and three times the charm, right?
There you go.
The first time I tried, I got to be honest, I didn't even get past the internet, like, because you have to fill out a form online. And then from the form, that's when they tell you you could come and do an interview, right? Yep. The first one, didn't even get an interview, nothing. The second time, did the online, waited, oh, got a message, you can come down for an interview. Boom. I went down. It was actually in Niagara Falls at the Scotia Arena down there. So we went down there. We tried a few years. I think this was just before COVID, and like about, I think 2019, 2018 or something like that. And we tried, we got on, like, we talked to them and everything. I thought, oh, it sounds good. No callback, nothing. And we're like, oh.
Between the first submission and the second submission, what did you do different?
To be honest, the submission was the same. I didn't really do anything. It was the same thing, same with the third. Like, it was all about the harness-friendly jacket. And I think the only thing I did different with the third, because the first time we did it, they didn't ask for videos or nothing. The second time we did it, they actually had, like, I did a video, like I'm doing now. So you talk to them, like, a video, and sent it through. So I think it was more the video, and then when people visualize something, they went, oh, okay, you know what? Let's give this guy a try. And then the last time was the same thing. Like we did same thing online. Then they wanted you to send in like a video this time. So they upped the game, right? Where it's not just you filling out a form. Now they want you to send a video of what you, you know, your product, like what you're selling and blah, 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 all that stuff. So I sent in the video and I'm going to be honest, I was shocked. They called. I'm like, oh, three times. Okay, let's try this. So we went down to the interview. Pretty much my whole, it's a family business, right? So I brought my wife and my daughter. My daughter, she's basically the CEO. Like she's the company person. Like she's the business end. I'm the inventor. I'm the creator that knows what has to happen. Like, you know, stuff like that. But she's the person that's taking me to the next level. Thank you, Cicely, by the way. So she was in on it too. So we all three of us went down there. We had a really good interview. And yeah, from there, they called us. We got onto the show. Me and Cicely went onto the show. And then I got three people, and they are not actors or models. There are actually three people that are in the trades. I got a firefighter that actually is a firefighter, real firefighter. You know, I got Jamie McMillan. She's actually in the trades. She speaks for the trades, right? She's a welder. And she's been an iron worker and a boiler maker, right? So, and then I had another kid. He's an iron worker also. So I actually got people that wear my product that actually say, hey, you know what? They're the real deal, right? That's why I always say made for the trades, by the trades, right? Because it's the real deal, right?
I mean, I recognize, you know, at least one or two of those names, and they're very active on social and again, speaking. And I know, you know, from my experience or our company's experience dealing with Dragon's Den, that even if you don't record, not all of them air. It's only a percentage of them that air.
That's so true. Yeah.
Did you think through the visual presentation beforehand? Like, what was your strategy?
So my strategy, I'm going to be honest. So my strategy, when we went in, I said, I'm going to tell them straight out, because I build scaffolding right now for a living, right? Like I did the Burlington Skyway. I do a lot of bridges. We do events, everything. So I before talked to Tower. I work for a company called Tower Scaffolding. So before then, I talked to them, and I was ready to say, I told them straight out, I'll do the jump. I'll be my own test dummy. I'll build a scaffold for the stage and the whole nine yards. And I think that's what really got me. Like, they liked that. They're like,
you jumped. You mean like you basically a controlled thing where you sort of went off the edge and tested your jacket in front of them?
Oh yeah. That's how my first tests, that's the way they were. They were actually controlled tests in my, like the first time I did it was outside on a tree with my buddy, and then it went into my garage because it didn't look so great, you know what I mean? Guy hanging from the tree like, oh no, this one didn't work. Like, that's not so great. So
you might get some calls to, you know, the police or something like that. What's going on, man?
Exactly. Yeah. So when I said that to the Dragons, then like when I did with the producers and everything, they're like, oh okay, right on. And then when they said, okay, you're on, they said, well, due to liabilities, we don't want you to jump. So that's how we got the dummy involved. And actually, the firefighter that was there, and I have a friend of mine, he's a firefighter down here in St. Catharines. They helped me get the dummy. It's actually from the firefighters' hall. That's the test dummy they actually use for firefighters, right?
Wow.
So we got the dummy from them.
I mean, was that an easy process? I mean, you just, you know, you borrow an official dummy. Was that an easy process?
Yeah. It's an official dummy for the process. So yeah, so if you guys, I don't know if you've watched the episode, but if you watch that episode, I'm on the third episode and I'm the third person. That's pretty funny, 333. And I'm the third person on that episode. We actually just had a dummy fall. It actually freaked out the dragon, so that was great actually. That was really cool. And but it actually, I think it was, that's what really got the dragons, because they seen the visual. Now they seen how an, because people say, oh, your harness, well, it's in the middle of your shoulder blades. So it's, yeah, but you don't understand is when it's activated, your harness does not stay there. You could tighten it up as much as you want. It's made to be above your head. The whole reason, like when I did my studying on harnesses, the reason is so that way it doesn't not, like it sits down there. So it doesn't knock you out and it goes past your head and then you can get rescued. Like if you know what I mean? Like if you have a rescue guy, he could tie off to you, rescue you up. You know, or they can tie a rope to the D-ring of the harness, pull you out. So when the dragon seen the harness up there and they say, oh, And we showed them, look, this is why we did what we did, and this is why it's a tearaway back. They got the concept. Now we see why this is actually a safety issue that's out there. There's a big risk factor, right? So that's why I made comfortable jackets for everybody.
Interesting. Now, episodes air, what do you see on your end in terms of emails or interest?
To be honest, I got a lot of emails and I got a lot of people, oh, I'll invest in you. And I'm going to be honest, we didn't ask for a lot of money. The whole purpose was to get a dragon or get a couple dragons, because the whole purpose is we need their help. Because like I said, I'm not a big business person. Learning, right? As an entrepreneur, it's always a learning game, right? And I have, like I said, Cicely again, to help me learn, right? Because she's in Brock University. She knows more of this. She's studying to be a lawyer. So she really is in tune with stuff like this. And the thing was, so that way they can be our guidance to the next step, right? For, you know, like, because now we have to start publicizing stuff and we have to start like getting commercials out there, you know what I mean? And pushing stuff out so it's more available to the public, right? In the public's eye. So that was the whole purpose of us getting onto the dragons. But it was a pretty big process. So we had a lot of people. It was a good thing. We had a lot of emails. Now we got more people like saying, oh yeah, we want to get in on this jacket. We want to, you know, have more people like wanting to, you know, I think it opened up people's eyes, right? Where it's like, yeah, you know what? Like, to be honest, like this weekend, I'm going to be talking to a guy. He teaches harness, right? All harness stuff, right? So he actually teaches the fall arrest course and stuff like that. And he's like, yeah, you know what? Like, that should be in the courses. So I'm going to go talk to him. Right. So it's opened up stuff like that for me too. Don't get me wrong. Before this, I was pushing for that. Like I was always going to like our hall when they teach the harness course, they actually say, this is the jacket you should use. Right. And they explain why, like there's other places out here that do the same thing for me. Right. So had more people calling and reaching out on emails and stuff like that to say, hey, you know what? This is a great idea. We want in, right? So that's a great, great thing that's happening from the dragons.
Awesome. Is there anything that I did not ask you, but you wanted to share?
I think you got it all. Like, I'll give you a recap of the jacket. If anybody hasn't seen Zep's gear. So what it is, it's a harness friendly jacket, right? It comes with the lanyard loops. Has a tearaway feature on the back, right? I went one step further, actually, because I was on a bridge and I was losing some radios. And if you look at everything that's made out there, all the radios are on the outside, even cops, radios on the outside. They have the cord, you know, coming around their neck or coming up to here or coming around their back. So what I did is I incorporated in my jacket, there's a radio pocket on the inside of my jacket at the bottom. So now you can put your radio in there. There's a little loop cover. Actually, well, since I got you on video, I can show you. There's at the bottom. And then there's actually a little flap in there. So that way you can pin the cord. The cord's not loose in your jacket. And then there's a zipper, just a zipper here. So this zipper is a mic zipper.
Okay.
You unzip it, set your mic up and attach your mic to here. And then that's it. You attach your mic up top. So now all you have is your mic exposed and your actual radio is protected from the elements. No cord dangling, no cord around your neck, no cord around your back. That's all gone also, right? So we took it a step further too, right? My goal is to make people more comfortable and to make it easier for guys like us, like I said, task at hand. Now you can concentrate on the work instead of just being miserable all day and going, oh man, this sucks, right? Now you're more comfortable, right? And hey, let's be honest, man. It's a cool looking jacket, right?
Perfect. Well, I love your
process. They do come in high vis, just so you know, it's not just black. I'm just wearing a black one, but they come in high vis.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Pete. I love this, you know, love watching your progress. So
thank you so much.
Thank you for sharing. Thank you for listening to the Specify Growth Podcast today. Make sure you check out youtube.com/TatsTalks. For video of today's podcast, hit the subscribe button for upcoming episodes.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.